There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right.
Look. Oh, get ready, Alex. Get ready.
Alex, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but the bells are back.
Don't worry, Alex. It annoys everybody. Don't worry, including the listeners.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith. Listen, lots of people really appreciate this, what's it called?
Festive sound.
Noise.
It's a festive sound, but when there's a particular sound that makes you feel, you know what I mean? What's it called?
Look at Jamie's face. Jamie's
people listen
impressed.
To noises, don't they?
ASMR.
That's what I'm talking about. Maureen's automatically started talking about Jamie. She's obsessed with the cat.
Yes.
Hello, Jamie.
We had a 45-minute snuggle time earlier today.
Wow. I'm excited for you.
And I bought her four toys back from Brighton. I've only given her the one yet. I was like,
wow. This is an incredible thing, Maureen. I've never seen you like this before. And all the time I've known you,
it's been
12 years that you have, there's so much joy in your heart for this cat.
I know. I don't know why.
There's some joy in your heart for this pussy. There's some joy in your heart, they say. That's not even, although it might be a Christian song, not a carol, which is off brand for today's episode.
But it's
now,
Crimbo
the listeners
episode.
Can't see, but Maureen has got her reindeer glasses on. I, by sheer coincidence, also am wearing reindeer glasses. Exactly
reindeer
the same.
Glasses.
Mine are gold, Maureen's are red. And Alison, you appear to have two
horns.
Little horns.
And a deer. Christmas deer.
No,
antlers. And a Christmas
antlers.
Jumper on. And a Christmas and jumper
antlers.
On.
I do.
I've got a little hat on. And let's not forget the bells. Let's bring those back.
Let's do forget the bells.
They're going to keep coming back, I'm afraid. And you know what, Maureen? You know what happens? The more you say don't do something. She hasn't learned yet, has she? Incredible scenes. How are you, Alison?
I'm good. Look, I know this is not a visual medium. It is a sound medium, unless you're a patron, which, by the way, you should join Patreon so you can see all of this. My sweater, actually, I don't know if I've shown you guys this yet, but it's Jesus in a birthday hat, and it says, birthday boy for Christmas.
That looks like he's wearing, it's lovely, but he looks like he's wearing a slice of pizza on his head.
It does look like he's wearing a
it's
slice
like he's
of
got
pizza.
His hat looks like a slice of pepperoni pizza.
What does your mum think of the jumper?
Well, I bought it for her, Maureen, because I thought she's kind of funny, right?
Yeah, and it is Jesus' birthday.
But if you're religious, it probably isn't that funny.
My mom, for being a religious woman, she's pretty cash. Like, she's got a sense of humor, you know? Like, so I bought matching ones for me, my sister, and my mom. Some say birthday boy. Some say, it's my birthday. And it's got two thumbs with Jesus pointing at himself.
It's I think it's fairly inoffensive if you're Christian to have a jumper that says happy birthday to Jesus. I mean, I can think of worse things. I think it's all part of the whole Christmas, getting this Christmas spirit, Maureen, for the love of God. What's the matter with you? You put the glasses on, but it hasn't penetrated your soul. Where's the cat?
The cat, I don't know. She's ignoring the tree for the time being. I've sport myself this week, though. I went for a makeover and I had a massage. Not at the same time, but...
Wow. That is great, because you came down to Brighton at the weekend, didn't you? And you got yourself a makeover and a massage. I took Maureen out to buy her... Oh, you're going to love this, Alison. So I said to Maureen, I'm down in Brighton, can I see you? I said, you absolutely can, but I'm very, very...
busy.
I'm a bit stressed and I'm really busy. I said, so I'm going... This is my only day to do Christmas shopping, but you're very welcome to join me if you want. But that is, just to let you know, I can't be like, oh, coffee, da-da-da. I can't compromise.
We are shopping. Yeah.
All I'm doing is I'm shopping. Maureen said, yeah, that's absolutely fine. So she comes down to meet me with her gift for me.
Quite a big, heavy gift.
Unwrapped, I might add.
No, it was not. It was in a bag. It was in a Christmas bag.
Maureen... What do you mean, no, it wasn't unwrapped? Are you saying it was wrapped?
Yeah, it's in a Christmas bag.
That's... If you can see the present in the bag, it's not wrapped, love.
Don't look in the bag.
Don't look in the bag. Love, I don't know if you know how bags work.
We just had the security tab off because the security tab was still on it.
You have to take it out of the bag, Maureen, don't you, to put it under the Christmas tree.
No, you just put the bag under the Christmas tree.
Look, I don't want to get into the detail of it. My understanding is at Christmas that you wrap presents so that you have something to unwrap. Am I wrong? As we get to adults, we don't have many things to unwrap, do we?
Yeah, so take it out of the bag and then that's a surprise.
Maureen, it isn't wrapped. Not only was it not wrapped, I had to carry it. Then Maureen said, oh, we went into this toy shop. She said, you ought to get your kids this present. It's a lovely present.
Brilliant present.
Okay, great. This is Maureen's idea of a gift, by the way, and she's a woman of a certain age. But anyway, they're 9. But okay, she's got it in her head that the kids are going to absolutely love this.
They're going to love it.
Maureen, you buy the present and then you can give it to the children. Yeah, sure. Maureen buys the present.
I do.
Then gives it to me to take home with me. When I have got so many bags, Alison. I've got like 7 bags. And then just as she leaves, with no bags, I might add, Maureen's not carrying anything. She hands it to me and goes, you can take that, can't you? And like a complete penis, went, yes, of course I can, Maureen. Yeah. I can take the present that you were supposed to give me on Christmas Day that you could have carried down. And I will also take the present and wrap it for you.
Oh, that's great.
That you are going to give our children. Or shall I just put it in a bag, Maureen? Maybe I should just put it in a bag. I'll just leave it in a bag and hand it to the kids. It's all right. Maureen said it's fine.
It wasn't just a bag. It was a Christmas bag.
In a bag. Anyway, look, it was very helpful. That's what I'm trying to say. Honestly, by the time she left, I was like, what was that?
That was her dropping off gifts early so she doesn't have to bring them on Christmas.
Yeah, just come down. Don't worry. I'll support you through this, Jen. Here's 2 other bags that you needn't have carried that now you have to carry. But how did you struggle back, Maureen? Was it okay for you?
It was
okay.
I had a really lovely lunch at the house restaurant, which was empty. I don't know why, because the food there is gorgeous. I had a very nice lunch. Thank you very much. And then I went back and had a nap.
Yeah, she struggled on. She struggled on as bought another 16 presents for the cat. But they're all wrapped.
No, they're not.
Don't know. They're not. But they are in a bag.
They're in bags. They're in bags.
And then in other news, honestly, Jen. Honestly, it's a very nice. I got a very nice present, by the way, Alison. Very nice present. I found my keys. You know, I lost my house keys. They've turned up. And I lost my ring in Jersey, and that's turned up now. So I've just got to get it back from Jersey. Yeah.
Did you, when you say they turned up, is it that when you got to the hotel, you asked them if they had them?
Yes. And they hadn't logged them in. So they said, that nobody's found anything. And the woman, but I'll just check the safe just in case. And they were there, but nobody had actually. So when I phoned up and said, have you found keys? They always said no because nobody had logged them in.
Oh, that's annoying. But
But at least you got them back. That was going to be a real pain, wasn't it? Having to change locks and all that jazz. Well, Maureen, that's a relief. And your expensive ring from the Jersey Islands.
Yeah, it cost me a whole pound at Petticoat Lane. It's going to cost me more to get it back from Jersey than actually paid for it.
Yeah, it's probably going to cost more to send it back to you. But it's not that. It's the sentimental value, isn't it?
Well, it's no sentimental value, but it's a really nice ring.
Okay, but it's nice to have it back.
For a pound. I want that really nice ring for a pound back.
Do you know what? Every time I wear it, people always comment on it. It's a really nice ring.
Oh. It is a nice ring.
Also, I've got fat fingers and I find it very hard to find rings that fit me.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, it is a nice ring and I'm glad you got it back. Glad you got your keys back as well. That was the more annoying thing because that actually really did bother you.
Yeah.
Because normally you can brush this stuff off. Actually, you can't. You actually struggle a bit with this stuff, don't you? I, on the other hand, who lose absolutely everything.
You go to Virginia, it's the funnest thing in the world. She's like, I have forgotten. And we'd leave, we'd do a double check, and nope, still something. Still something,
yeah, yeah.
Eh?
I don't.
That's why I'm not going to tell you that I lost a bag on that Friday when I went shopping.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
I'm not going to tell you that.
Did you?
But you did it.
I'm not going to tell you it.
Well, what present was it?
All the gifts I bought, Chloe.
Look at Maureen's face.
No.
Was it my present? The gifts.
Every single gift I bought, Chloe, in the same bag. Lost it. I'm not even joking. I had so many bags. Look, Maureen, I don't want to put this on you because it isn't you, actually. I had so many bags that I just, at some point, I must have put them down and I've forgotten to pick one of them back up again. That's the only thing I can think of.
That's easily done.
Absolute knob end. Anyway, so I said to Chloe, I hope that you're going to be happy with a big old hug from me.
And what did she say?
No, you better go and get me some presents.
Get out there and rebuy some gifts. Oh, that is so crazy.
Next time, bring a rucksack with you so you can bung everything
in
the
rucksack. Yeah, no, you're right. I should have brought my rucksack with me. I should know me by now. I don't know who I'm kidding. Why don't I know who I am as a person? I don't know. I don't have it in me. I don't understand what is wrong with me. I cannot hang on to stuff. I don't know where anything is. I forget. I'm just so scatty. I just can't, my brain just doesn't work like that. Well, I don't know. Some might say my brain doesn't work and just ended the sentence there. No. But it was unfortunate. But Chloe took it really well when I told her, which was also a mistake.
She took it really well. Well, that's fine, Jen. Just get out there and go rebuy them. That's how she took it.
The code was, you are an absolute knob. So I did feel like perhaps I could have taken that to the grave. Anyway, that was my week, shopping with Maureen, losing my shopping, coming home. honestly. But Maureen, your gift is under the Christmas tree.
In the bag?
It's in the bag, of course it is. In an attempt to keep that Christmas vibe where I know I've got to unwrap something. I haven't. I'm just going to take it out of the bag.
You could staple the top of the bag so then you can open it.
No, but the stuff is in another, it's in another bag.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's not in a bag.
It is. It's a kind of a wicker thing.
Yes, I know, but that is part of the gift, isn't it?
Yeah, but you don't know what's in the wicker thing.
I do, because it's printed on there.
Well, you shouldn't have looked.
But it's hard not to look because you didn't wrap it.
Yeah, but you have to look in. You have to open, take it out of the bag.
Had to take it out of the bag and look at it because you had to take the security tag off, didn't we, Maureen?
Yeah, because it kept beeping at the shops. Every time we went to shops, it kept beeping.
Look, every shop we went into, the bloody alarms were off, so we had to take it out of the bag.
I think it's my bag.
Yeah, well, there's no surprises there.
Will you please keep that Christmas bag and continue to give each other gifts each year in that same bag? Can you please keep that going for as long as is possible?
To be fair, I do reuse Christmas bags. If I get a Christmas bag,
I don't know. I can absolutely tell this has been reused.
Hey, good for you, Maureen. I think reusing Christmas bags is good. We don't need to be adding to the...
Yeah, it's environmentally friendly.
No, you're right. Alison, you're right. It is good. It is good.
Hey,
come on. Let's bring back the Christmas bags.
Yeah.
Alison, have you had a good week?
I have. I've had a good week. week. Yeah. You guys, I did. I won't talk comedy too much, but I did a truly Christmas corporate. There was 1,000 people. Oof. It was all tables that were each company. So it was different companies that it was like dinner, a comedian, me, and then like a big dance afterwards with like a beef buffet and all this jazz. This is what I'm doing for corporates from now on, everyone. This is what I've decided. There was 30 companies. Because look, you got to be really clean. Like corporates in the UK, you can still now and again.
Yeah. You can dip into a swear. Yeah.
Here, it's like you are like, you know, the priest is in the room. You know, like it's there's they want it clean. And every year I struggle. Every year I'm like, oh, God, do I have an hour of clean material? You know what I did? And this is what I'm doing for the rest of my corporate life. I Googled all the companies. I looked at their website and I just wrote a joke about every company. And I went through every single company.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Sounds dreadful. That's a lot of work, Alison.
It took about a half hour because they weren't good jokes, but it didn't matter. Each company got a joke and they were so excited. And I killed 30 minutes doing that, everyone, and they were delighted. And then I only had to do 30 minutes of material. It was a dream. Yeah, that's what I'm doing
Alison,
from now on.
That sounds great. Why not? I mean, that sounds like a lot of extra work, and I personally could not be asked.
I mean, it goes
without
saying that I wouldn't be doing that.
I was happy. They paid me a lot of money. So I was like, you know what? Let me just make you all happy.
And you know what? Yeah. If it makes it a smoother and more enjoyable experience, because as we know, corporates are hellish, do it.
It's great.
Well, we're all in the Christmas cheer. We're ready for our turkey, nut roast, whatever it is you're eating at Christmas. I don't know. I don't know what vegetarians eat. Nuts and bolts, whatever it is. But we're in it. We're into the season to be jolly. But now let's absolutely do a 180 and walk away from that and walk towards something that's a little bit off-centre. Maybe like one of those cheeses, which is, you know, with the blue veins and it's kind of a bit whiffy, but you like it, but you're not quite sure why. Let's find out what Maureen's Be My Money moment is.
I messaged Jen. I have just put olive oil in my eyes. And I was like, sitting there going, why is it so blurred?
I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you?
It was fine in the end, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No, you wouldn't recommend it, Maureen.
Thanks, Brista, for another wonderful introduction. A bit more. I just remembered this the other day because I'm meeting up with him soon for Christmas. I have a really good friend called Ira, and we always meet up for dinner. And at one point, we always used to meet at this Italian restaurant in Soho, which is long gone. And we were sitting there, and there's like a candle in the middle of the table, and we're chatting away. And at one point, Ira looks at me and goes, do you realise your hair's on fire?
Oh, God, I thought immediately, what part of you set on fire? Oh, my.
And I just
but also, Maureen, that's quite, because it goes so quick.
And I just went, no. And we just both sat there while the hair was on fire. And, it's like Carry On Up the Khyber. You've seen Carry On Up the Khyber when they're eating their dinner and the whole place is being destroyed and they're just coming. Anyway, I was there, my hair's on fire. And then this rather camp French waiter came in and doused the fire out. And what was really funny...
Yeah, because if that got to your scalp...
I know. I don't know why we just sat there looking, you know, well, I couldn't see it. And then he doused the fire out. And what was really funny, every time we went to that restaurant, he would remove the big candle and give us a little stump of a candle. Every time. But yeah. I set my hair on fire, I think, 3 times. Once when I was picking my split ends in Vienna in bed. Yep. And I did notice because it just shot right up my...
So how did you do that in bed?
I was using a candle to see, to pick my split.
So, wait a second. Oh, God.
So I mean, this is the moment. This
what,
is the big
what
moment.
What year was this?
Oh, this would have been...
1785?
No, because, I had a mezzanine bed. So, sometimes in Oxford you get mezzanine beds so you can use the whole room because they've got really high ceilings. So the light switch is kind of on the wall. So I used to just use a candle when I used to go upstairs to my bed.
Yeah, you used to have a candle.
Well, anyways, I was picking my split ends, but obviously my hair went too near the candle. It just went, boom. And I'm up on this wooden mezzanine bed. That was a bit dangerous.
I know yourself, Maureen.
Don't be using candles, number one. Okay, go on.
Yeah, particularly when you're bending over the candle to pick at your split ends.
That's why.
three.
I can't really. Oh, that one's gone. Oh, that one's gone. Oh, another one's gone.
I realize I've got not much of a leg to stand on just generally, but when I hear stories like that, I think, what is she doing, woman?
That's just the second hair burning story.
I set my hair on fire, did I? Anyway, I did.
You didn't expect to. That's where you went wrong.
The third time, I was actually at the Troubadour in Earl's Court with my mother. I set my hair on fire there with a candle.
How?
From the table.
With a candle again. From how? How did you do it?
I don't know. Just my hair touched the candle and it went on fire. And I've got very fire thingy hair.
I think that's just hair, Maureen.
Fourth time, I didn't actually burn it, but I was with Isaac Janssen, a really great Swedish comic, and we were in Utrecht, and we went for dinner before the gig, and basically a candle was right next to me, and he had to keep telling me not to move. He had to keep telling me not to move my head, because every time I kept trying to hit the candle. So it's only been 3 out of 4 times.
That you are aware of.
Oh, yeah,
I'm thinking
I'm
of all the other times that you have burned your hair.
No, I haven't been aware of. That is quite possible.
But also I like that it's only 3 out of 4.
Only not 3 out of 4.
Not only, yeah. Not like, you could only use only, Maureen, if you had got then said 1 out of 4. But yeah. You can't say only if it's most of the time. Out of the 4 times, I only did it 3 times.
Yeah, but 3 out of 4 is better than 4 out of 4, isn't it?
It's true. But the only should be that I only didn't burn my hair once, right? Like I only, yeah, I love you so much, Maureen. I was like, is that why you got a makeover? Is that the new haircut? No. It was just kind of.
And of course, there was that time, Jen, wasn't there, when I had to cut my hair because I got
the curling iron.
Curling iron stuck in it.
Oh, yeah. When you were trying to straighten your hair.
Yeah.
And was it straightening it?
I was trying to put a curl in it.
Yeah.
And then it got stuck. So I just cut it all out. And then I said to you without thinking, oh, my hair didn't look any better. And you went, what? You got a curling tog stuck in your hair.
And then you just cut a chunk of your hair out. Warren was like, you're not going to believe this. It didn't look any better. It's like, that is not a surprise to anyone. Maureen, that's...
those are excellent moments.
That's pretty on brand and I like it. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. I mean, I'm very relieved and grateful to hear that you didn't hurt yourself or indeed anyone else. So that's why we can laugh about it.
Yeah.
But honestly, Maureen, hair burns so quickly.
I know.
It could have got to your scalp. I know.
When I was in bed, it just went shot straight up.
Yeah. Also, when you were with Ira and your hair was on fire and he told you and you just said, this is classic, Maureen. No.
No, I didn't say no. I went, oh.
I thought you said no. Oh, right, fine.
I went, is it?
Is it? Right.
Well, I couldn't see it, could I?
I know, no. But I just think if, you know, sometimes, even if you can't see it, it might be a good idea just to put it out.
Are you familiar with the smell of burning hair now? At least tell me at this point.
No, not really.
Okay. You don't know what hair burning... Maureen, you can't not know what that smells like because it smells so strong. It's the most disgusting smell. You must know what that smells like.
No, I don't.
You don't know what the smell of burning hair is.
Just don't put me near any candles when I come to yours.
Yeah, there is a candle ban on Maureen. Nobody ever give her any more candles. No more.
I did set a cardigan on light once, the candle.
Yeah, of course you did. Oh, so now we're on to clothing. Right.
Yeah, I was really pissed off. It was a really nice cardi as well.
Was it?
Cut the whole, burnt the whole shoulder off. I forgot I had a candle behind me and took my cardi off and just dumped it behind me. Okay. Looked round and my cardi was on fire.
No candles! Wait, no candles!
Wait a second, because I thought we'd ended.
No, she's got more fire stories.
It's still going.
It was really annoying. It was a really nice party.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that.
Couldn't sew it up.
Maureen.
God. Okay. Any other?
I was sitting there. There was a fucking fire behind me. I didn't notice.
No. Well, of course you wouldn't because you never think anything's behind you. You are a classic solipsist. If it's not in front of you, it doesn't exist.
I know. My observational skills, you can see why I'm an observational comic.
I mean, Maureen, it's just generally you're very much focused on the you and the now.
Yes.
The and immediate in front of. Yeah.
It's whatever's immediately in front of Maureen, not to the side, not behind. And it has to be happening now. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the past. And that's it. She's very much living in the moment. And that's something to be applauded, actually.
People strive for that.
I mean, a lot of us are trying to get there, live yeah. in the moment. We, some of us meditate, some of us take up religions, you know, sport to achieve that. But actually, Maureen, you're already there. That's quite something. So thank you very much, Maureen, for your Be More Maureen moment. The burning of the hair, the burning of the cardigan. I'm very surprised you didn't set fire to any pot plants, because that's usually your thing, because they're often mistaken for candles.
Yep.
But this was truly, truly something.
Let's move on before I remember something else.
I know. I was like, she's got more. I know she does.
I know. Yeah, do you know what? More. I know she has, but this podcast is only an hour long, so we've got to yeah. zip on through. Alison, it's the Christmas problem. It's the Christmas issue. Let's find out what someone's problem is. Can Alison help? Oh, yes, she can. Because it's time to sit back, relax, as we ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Hey, thank you very much. Listen, I got a few Christmas problems, so I've just kind of amalgamated them into one general thing. So we're going to just go over a quick little thing. So thank you to everyone who wrote in. Merry Christmas to all of you. I hope you survived the season, good or bad. I'm not a therapist, just to put that out. I'm just a person who likes to listen to problems. I enjoy it. So the general problem that I'm putting together is how to keep yourself and others busy during this Christmas season. Now, I know you're probably like, oh my God, we're so busy already, Alison, but I am talking about when you're at the Christmas parties, when there's tons of people around, how to keep them engaged. Maybe there's some downtime and you've got people around, things, activities, ideas that you can do to keep them engaged. If you are a person on your own at Christmas, I always like to address this because I know there are a lot of people who spend Christmas on their own. Things you can do to keep yourself busy. Also, I'd just like to point out, those of you spending Christmas on your own, I want you to still remember there are a ton of people out there who wish they were in your position. So yeah, honestly, it is stressful. So here are just a quick list of ideas, creative things that I really enjoyed. People I talked to gave me some suggestions. I looked some things up. Okay, so things to keep people busy, a little prep time before the family and people arrive or you're on your own. Number one, I want you to make a list of Christmas movies and know where you can find them. No last minute searching for Christmas movies. I would like you to prep yourself and be like, all right, here are five Christmas movies, a classic, maybe a new one, maybe a kid one, maybe an... So you know where they are, they're ready to go. So when there's that lull in the room, you can be like, boom, let's throw on this Muppet Christmas Carol, which is always a classic, very funny, very entertaining for all ages, okay? Make a Christmas song list, okay? That way you are not stuck with just whatever is on the radio. You choose your Christmas songs. You don't want to hear Mariah Carey? You don't have to. This is in your hands. A little prep, hey? Make some Spotify Christmas lists. Maybe if you want to be really nice, if people are coming around, you know, maybe ask, what are your favorite Christmas songs? Make a compilation of some Christmas songs that everyone will enjoy just to keep that vibe going and so you can create the energy that you want. Hey, Google or Alexa games. These are great. Here are some games that I thought would go over for all ages. It's a game called Guess My Age. You can play this on your Hey Google, and it's exactly what it sounds like. Google Home will attempt to guess your age based on your answers to a few questions. Very fun in a room full of people, I thought. Mystery sounds. Everyone, Google plays a mystery sound and everyone has to try and guess what the sound is. I know it sounds silly, but if you have seniors that can't read all that well, if you've got kids that don't want it, this is a great game to play with a group of people. I mean, just imagine grandma and the kids trying to figure out, you know, the sound of a woodpecker farting. I don't know. It's going to be exciting. It's something fun, okay? So guess the sound. Would you rather is another game that you can pull up on Hey Google, right? Would you rather this or would you rather that? It's a fun way to kind of get people thinking, you know, would you rather be stuck in a tree trunk with a farting woodpecker or would you rather be eating, I don't know, a stale Christmas cake? I don't know, but would you rather, very fun game. There's always the classics if you're in the group. What is it? there's so many different names to this game. What is the game where you give a gift and everyone keeps trading to try and like get the gift that they want?
Pass the parcel.
Yeah, pass the parcel. Or is pass the parcel's different? That's music, isn't it?
No, it's not pass the parcel. I don't know what you're talking about, but pass the parcel is something different.
I think it's called White Elephant. So everyone brings a cheesy gift and then you can trade up to try and get the gifts that you want. It's a fun game. It's a good time. Everyone can just bring in a cheap gift. Pictionary, always a classic with everyone. Okay, they love it. Now, here are some things you can do around the house. Set up a jigsaw puzzle station. Everyone enjoys just putting in one piece. They can go over, they can have a minute over at the jigsaw puzzle section. By the end of the party or by the end of the weekend, maybe a puzzle's been made. It's a nice little thing to do. Areas where people can go. So you can come in instantly. My friend's aunt used to have things set up so people could go to work to help her doing things. Hey, there's a vegetable chopping station. Could you go over there and chop me some vegetables? Because believe it or not, at Christmas, people want to be doing things. They want to feel useful. So if you can kind of prearrange stations where people can do things, hey, is there a cookie making station over there? Just little places where people can go and do things. Maybe there's a craft station. Not everyone has to be doing all the activities at once. You have different areas where they can go. A group gingerbread house. This is always fun. Get one of those cheesy little gingerbread things and have everyone throughout the weekend add a little bit to the gingerbread house and see the Christmas monstrosity that is built by the end of the holidays. A virtual Christmas lights tour. That's right, everyone. There are virtual online Christmas light tours. And if you put it on a big TV and turn out all the lights, it's actually very beautiful. And it's a really nice way to see a bunch of Christmas lights without having to go outside if you've got people that maybe aren't so mobile. If you're on your own, I want to encourage you to make some new Christmas traditions. You don't have to do Christmas the way everyone else does it. Maybe Christmas for you is a spa day. Go have a spa day. Maybe Christmas for you is taking yourself out to a really nice restaurant that you wouldn't normally go to. And, might I add, taking a taxi to and from. Treat yourself. This is your Christmas. Go to an Airbnb or get a room in a nice hotel. Treat yourself. Do something nice. Create a new tradition. Go to the movies on your own, right? Do you know some other people that are spending the day on their own? Maybe make a few phone calls. Say hello to some people. Sharing or giving service to others is the best way to make yourself feel, I don't know, a little bit more like you have purpose. So, I mean, you could volunteer. When I say volunteer, there are more places than like soup kitchens. You can volunteer to call a senior. There's lots of people at home. A little phone call from people might be a really nice thing to do. Think about something you never have time to do and do it. Is it read a book? Is it to start that new hobby? Maureen is the queen of hobbies. I'm sure she's got a couple more things she'd like to start. Maybe some time on her own is the best time to do it. Get around to those things that you never get around to doing and do them. And last but not least, if you don't like Christmas, well, then guess what? Pretend it's not fucking Christmas. You could just drown out the world. You don't have to deal with anyone that day. Order yourself in some pizza. Choose your favorite movies. Ignore Christmas. You can do that as well. These are just a few ideas of some things that you can do to make Christmas run a bit smoother. But the biggest thing that I can recommend is make a plan. Just have a plan in your head of what you want it to look like, and then you've always got options. There. Those are some Christmas ideas of how to keep yourself and everyone busy and to get through the holidays a bit smoother.
Alison, thank you very much. Very good suggestions. I never thought about that, but I think that's a brilliant idea to make a plan, because sometimes Christmas, particularly if you hate Christmas, which a lot of people do, and you find it a tricky time, in, you know, mental health-wise, because it can be a very triggering time for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Particularly if you've had traumatic Christmases in the past, or you're on your own, or you've been recently bereaved. But I think, have it in your mind. What are you going to do with that day? And yep, follow that through. Because I think sometimes just having a bit of control over this particular holiday season can make it less unbearable. And all of those suggestions are fantastic, depending on where you are emotionally, mentally, yeah, physically, yeah, and financially. But there are loads of things that you can do. Or, as you said, Alison, is sack it all off. You don't have to do anything.
No.
You know, this is just a social construct that we've created. You don't have to get involved with it. And actually, do bear in mind that a lot of people who are going to be surrounded by people often can be also an incredibly lonely time. So, yes, I wish, as we all do at WTB, that you have a very wonderful Christmas. But yes, Put a plan in place. That's a brilliant idea. Thank you, Alison.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Maureen Younger, do you have anything to add to that? Because I know you have done both Christmases alone and you have done Christmases with friends.
Yes.
And you've done it all, haven't
you? Yeah, I did Christmas. I mean, like when I was younger, I really hated the idea of having Christmas alone. And then I spent Christmas with a certain family member and I was like, you know what? I think I prefer it alone.
Yeah.
And I did have Christmas alone. And actually it was all right because you just get to do what you want to do. And then I had it with friends who lived just across the road. So you had the best of both worlds. You had your own space and then you could go over and come back. But it can be quite daunting and it can be quite depressing spending Christmas by yourself. That is for sure.
Yeah.
Just spoil yourself, basically.
And there's lots of like I think Sarah Millican does a
she's given up. She's not running it
join
anymore.
In. Is this the last year?
No, I think Join In is still going, but she's put it on Twitter that she's not gonna
run it this year. She's got yeah.
But Join In is still going.
So Join In is still going.
Yeah, if you're there's on, a lot of things.
If you're Twitter. On Twitter. And I think they probably do it on Insta as well.
I'm sure.
So that's also an option if you want to. And that's a good way of connecting with other people who are on their own over Christmas. Yeah. Sometimes they're not even on their own. They're just with people they don't like and they just want to go.
I just would rather talk to strangers than anyone I'm related to right now.
Exactly.
Yes.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
WTB listeners, just a little note to say, please do pre-order my special, The Optimist, which is out on the 21st of November. You can pre-order it now. It will also come with an audio version of my previous show, Underprivileged. It's through 800 Pound Gorilla, and you can get it and find out all the information in the show notes or on my website or on my Instagram or on my Facebook.
Hi, WTB listeners. I don't have a special coming out, and I'm not going on tour, at least not for the moment, due to popular demand. But I do have a book, and it's Christmas, so come on, what more could you want? It's called Prisons of My Life. It's the main character in a lot of the short stories is somebody called M. God knows who she could be. Just my vivid imagination at play again. And you can get it via Amazon. Link will be in the show notes.
Hey, UK WTB listeners. I am so excited as I am going on my very first UK tour. Take a look at my website and see when my show, Little Smith Sunshine, might be coming to you. Starting in January, February, and I'm sure I'm going to add more dates. Speaking of which, if you want me to come to you, let me know where you think I should perform next. You can get tickets at my website, www.alisonjunesmith.com, and that will be in the show notes as well. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to meet you all.
Sorry, Alison, I'm distracted by the fact that Maureen appears to be drinking double cream.
I'm not drinking double
cream. What are you drinking?
It's a cafe latte.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, Alison, let's be honest. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that Maureen is chugging on some double cream. It's time for us to talk about what we have been reviewing and viewing and seeing and liking.
Well, I watched the first episode of Vigil last night, which is season two.
Second series. Right. Tell us.
Really good. Like the intro reminded me of Slow Horses. You know, when you've got an action-packed beginning.
Yes. Did you watch the episode one of series three yet?
No. I'm waiting to go to yours.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So basically, it's funny because it's called Vigil, which was the name of the submarine they were on in the last season. But they still had to call it the same name, obviously. But so what happens is the Air Force now, and they're selling some dodgy weapons. The British are selling dodgy weapons to some dodgy Middle Eastern country with a poor human rights record. I mean, if you can get over that unbelievable storyline.
Suspend your disbelief, everyone.
Right? And Doug Ray Scott's in it as well this time. And
oh, wow. I haven't seen him in anything for a while.
And they're showing these, they've got the kind of drones. They're not called drones because that's what civvies call them, but they're like drones, basically. And they can just destroy, they're very good at destroying everything, and it's all going very well. Then one of the drones goes AWOL.
Rogue,
and starts killing British Air Force soldiers and attacking all the bigwigs that have come to watch this thing. And so obviously she's called in. She's now got her girlfriend, played by Leslie Rose, who's pregnant. And they come in and they're looking into seeing what's happening and how this all happened, how this went rogue. I really enjoyed it, and I was very tempted to see episode two, which is on iPlayer, but I have so far managed to not watch it. But I think I really enjoyed it. Season one was really good, and this looks like
I really enjoyed season one. It was great, and I'd definitely be up for watching season two, so I will get into that at some point.
That'd be good for you and Chloe to watch together, I think.
Yeah, because Chloe really liked the first series as well, so I think we'll definitely watch that.
I mean, the only thing's a bit unbelievable, like they're going out with each other, the two lead women, and I don't know whether in the police force you'd be allowed to investigate a crime with your partner.
I don't know about that. It doesn't sound like it would be encouraged.
No. But maybe they're not official. But anyway, so that's the one little thing. But it's, got Doug Ray Scott in it, Greg Wise. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I recommend it.
So that's Vigil. That's on ITV. And
BBC.
It's on BBC, is it?
Yeah.
I thought you said ITV earlier.
No.
Okay, because I thought it was a BBC drama. I went, oh, it's obviously not. It's
ITV. No, BBC.
BBC, wherever you... you won't be able to watch that unless you live in the UK. Sorry about that. Anyway, I have been watching... Boat Story, which you can watch, I believe, on Amazon Prime, but it's a BBC drama. It's a comedy as well, and it stars Daisy Haggard and Paterson Joseph. Is it Paterson or Patterson?
Patterson.
I never know how to pronounce. I never know how to pronounce that. Paterson. Patterson.
I think it's Patterson.
I always think Patterson was two T's, but anyway, it's Patterson Joseph, and it is it's a comedy drama. But a drama nonetheless, about two strangers who find a boat full of cocaine. And this amount of cocaine is such a huge amount. It's like it's worth, on the street, it's worth millions. And both of them, for different reasons, could really do with the cash. And it's about their story of what happens to them. And it's never positive. Don't get involved with drugs, I think, is the message here. I don't know if we need to keep hearing that same message over and over again. Don't be greedy. Don't get involved with drugs. Because as soon as they do, bad shit starts to happen. It is brilliant. It's absolutely not what I thought it was going to be. It's very stylized. It has a narrator. The narrator is both... part of that sort of, I guess, that stylized vibe, but it's also very funny the way that it's narrated. It cuts back and forth from the present to the future. It does that thing where you'll see characters talking side by side, you know? So, but also it in other parts, it looks like a traditional BBC drama. So it kind of covers all of the whole gambit. In the way that it differs is that it is incredibly violent in a way that I haven't seen on the BBC before.
Oh.
Like it's unexpectedly violent and quite gory. And I wasn't expecting that. Like there's some scenes in there where I was like, oh, my God. Like Chloe was like, I can't look. you know, she had to avert her gaze on a number of occasions. But it's got all the suspense. It's got all of the drama. It's got a really interesting storyline. It's got brilliant actors in it. Daisy and Paterson are brilliant. They work really well together. And they're, you know, her northern accent, her Yorkshire accent is brilliant, by the way. They live in a sort of fictional Yorkshire town, small town, kind of like, I don't know, Huddersfield or something like that. But it's not that. I think they call it Appleby. Anyway, that's where they live. And there's loads of other things going on. Her relationship with her ex and his child that she was a stepmom to and brought up since he was a baby. She's no longer able to see him. There's something going on with them because with that couple. There's other things happening outside of that. And you become very quickly invested in these characters, particularly Daisy Haggard's character. She's so good at playing comedy and pathos together. Like, it's something that her face seems to do naturally. You can't help but like fall in love with her characters. She's such a great actor. Anyway, this whole series, it's on BBC One. It's also got, and I never know how to pronounce his name, but do you remember that show? Is it called Missing?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Do you know the one I mean? And there's a French investigator.
French actor.
Yeah. What's how do you pronounce it? Is it Checky Cario?
I think so. Yes, I know that. Checky Cario.
Shiki Cario.
Anyway,
he's
brilliant.
He plays the sort of mafia boss, the person who's lost his drugs, basically, and he's on a rampage.
He's a really good actor.
You've also got Craig Fairbrass, who plays a psycho, who's the boss's hitman, so to speak, and is going around trying to get these drugs back and will kill as many people as is necessary to do that, because if he doesn't, he knows his neck's on the line. And then you've got Joanna Scanlon in it as well, and they're all fantastic. And so I can highly recommend that. I mean, I'm late to the party. I'm sure a lot of people listening to the podcast, I'm like, Jen, we've already binged it. We watched it ages ago, so you don't need to tell us. But if you haven't watched it, it's still on iPlayer. It's all of the episodes are on there. Don't let what I said about the gore put you off, because it's not back to back. There's just some bits. There is a plenty of lead up where you know where those scenes are coming, so you can just step outside and step back in. You're never going to be surprised by it. I think they've done it very cleverly where they go, okay,
get ready. Get ready.
They almost introduce it, pause it. The narrator starts talking and you're like, oh, I can see what's going to happen here. I might just go and make a cup of tea. But the actual story is fantastic, and I can highly recommend it. And I believe that if you don't live in the UK, it is available on Amazon Prime. Alison, tell us about the horror. Alison, what horror awaits us?
Okay, so I am super excited. So I've deviated a little bit, gang, because I think I gave tons of lists of horror movies to do with Christmas in the past. So I thought, okay, I want to do something a little different. Now, I just recently saw this for the first time because the other podcast I do, The Horror Motel, Bunny Galore, who is my co-host, introduced this to me. I can't believe I had never seen it. Okay. The TV series Inside Number 9.
Oh,
if you haven't seen it, fantastic, excellent.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Very creepy.
The first episode of season 3 is called The Devil of Christmas. It blew my mind. Okay, so it's the first episode of season 3. It's called The Devil of Christmas. Basically, the gist of the story, and I'm not going to give away the ending because the ending is what blows my mind. So at first, we appear to be watching a bad TV drama from 1977. The way it is, it's almost like theater. You know how the old, when they'd film a TV series, like, you know, British television, it looked very staged, very theatrical. You know what I mean? Like a set, and they would just shoot it like it was a set. So it starts off like that. It's so like, it gives you that real old British television vibe. Mm. And okay, so an uptight British family, Julian Devonshire and his overbearing mother, Celia, and they have a son and a pregnant wife, Kathy. They arrive at an Austrian chalet for a December skiing holiday. They are met by Klaus, the creepy caretaker, who fills Toby's heads with stories of Krampus, who visits terrible children in the night and leaves them warnings to change their behavior. At first, a switch is left in the boots, then three scratches on the body, and then there's no improvement, and then Krampus will come and steal the child. So we learn the background of Krampus. Then we begin to see this is happening to the child. So it's like the story of Krampus and this family going through this thing. You see all the dynamics of the new wife not being able, you know, living in the past memory of the mother who's faded. And you're like, what is this? This is just a dramatic, you know. And then the end comes.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you the end. The beautiful part, too, there's also like a voiceover explaining all the everything that's going on, like, you know, a flashback to like, oh, there's when she missed her mark and she went here. And so there's like, you see this thing being made. You hear the voiceover of someone remembering it being made. And then the ending comes. I don't want to tell you the ending because it is so mind-blowing. It is a switch and bait like I have never anticipated in my life. The first episode, season three of Inside Number Nine, The Devil of Christmas. If you want to be creepy, shocked, blown away, there's no gore. There's no gore. There is nothing like...
They don't do gore. They just do creepy.
Oh, and this is... It blew my mind. I can't believe I've never seen it before. I cannot recommend it enough. If you are an Inside Number 9 fan, if you like creepiness and this is Christmas themed, this is what I'm recommending. I cannot recommend this enough. It is, I've never seen a bait and switch like that before in my entire life. And I've watched a lot of creepy movies.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant.
And it's only one episode. It's like 40 minutes at max. It's phenomenal, everyone. Yeah, yeah. I highly recommend it.
Alison, thank you very much. That's a brilliant recommendation. And where can you get that? Is that on Netflix?
I think it's on Netflix. I think Inside Number 9, it's all over. I think Inside Number 9 now has become international. So just figure out whatever they're showing it on. If you never watched the series in general, it's fantastic. But I like their earlier works a little bit more creepy in the early days. But this, mwah, magnifica.
Yeah, brilliant. Inside Number 9. Reese Shearsmith and Steve Pemberton's from their brains and absolutely fantastic. And I'm pretty sure it's all on iPlayer, but if you live outside of the UK, check out if it's available on your Flicks of the Net kind. Alison, thank you very much for your horror recommendation. But let us head back again once more for the final time of this year to Maureen Younger with her corner. It is cultural and she would like to impart her cultural wisdom upon us. Thank you very much, Maureen. Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
Well, these are not my suggestions. These are actually suggestions from book club people. They're quite interesting for like the Christmas theme. One was by Ruth, which is Child's Christmas in Wales by Dylan Thomas, which I've never heard of, but it's meant to be very good.
Okay.
And then... there's a Christmas Carol, but two versions. There's the traditional version, which you can get from BBC Sounds. And then I've started listening to this one, The Christmas Collection, The Rude Retelling by Brian Harvey from E17. And Marina suggested that. And it is,
right.
Jen, I think you should put it on in the car. It's definitely not for children.
Okay. Right.
So if you listen to both, it's quite funny. So you've got like the traditional one, you know, Marlowe was dead, whatever. You've got Brian Harvey's version. Yeah, he was fucking dead. What you got to know about Marlowe and Scrooge were a pair of cunts. I'm thinking, oh, I don't think the BBC recorded this version. So if you don't like swearing...
Swerve it.
But it's like basically a Cockney telling you the Christmas story.
That's fun.
Okay, that sounds great.
On Acast, and it is really funny because he's going, he was fucking dead. He was dead as a doorknob. I don't know why they're saying dead as a doorknob, but doorknob's not even alive. And, you know, all this. So, yeah, they're quite amusing. So, yeah, Child's Christmas in Wales, which tells the story of Christmas from the viewpoint of a young boy portraying a nostalgic and simpler time, A Christmas Carol, traditional on the BBC Sounds, and obviously The Christmas Collection, The Rude Retelling, by Brian Harvey, and that's on Acast.
Okay, brilliant. That's short and sweet, Maureen. Thank you very much for your cultural recommendation, little corner type thing for the final time of this year. And what we can look forward to in the new year will be more book clubs, more cultural corners, more Ask Alison's.
Oh, can I just add that the book club for...
No, you absolutely can't.
Yes, thank you.
That's your moment.
Somebody won't listen to you. The book club for the new first month is James M. Cain, Double Indemnity.
James M. Cain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very well known American writer. And it's very short. It's only 136 pages.
Woohoo!
Oh, it's an added bonus.
Perfect. Oh, that's nice, isn't it, when book club gives you a short one?
Yeah.
The last two
start the
been,
new year off. Yeah, right. Quite long.
Yeah, let's just ease in, shall we? Come on.
Look, it's been quite a year. Let's just say it's been quite a year. We've learned a lot. We've grown. We have Maureen is banned from candles. Is the New Year's resolution we've decided no candles. But I mean, we want to know for the last time this year. We want to know what are some things that are aggravating us? What's going on? What is getting your goat for the final time this year?
Don't judge me. Now, you're going to be judging me now, but bloody well wait, okay? This is terrible, isn't it? That's what's got my goat. And do you know who I blame? Society. Well, I think because it's the end of the year, let's leave on a positive. We've got to, right? We've got to leave on a positive. Let's find out some positive things from all of us, I'd like to say. It's been a long year for all of us for various different reasons. All of us have had variously differently. Is that even English?
Yeah, variously differently.
It is now. Variously differently. Do start to use that in public. If anyone contradicts you or says you're wrong, tell them you're wrong. So I thought it would be nice to think about one positive thing, one positive takeaway that we might have from this year, 2023, which, as I have already stated, for various reasons, for Maureen, myself and Alison, have been tough. It's been a tough year. But also, it has had some highlights. Let's talk about those.
Well, I think for me, obviously, getting into the finals of the British Comedian of the Year, and also getting rid of my eczema.
Yes!
Yay!
When we remember how bad my eczema was at the beginning of the year.
If we look back, and if you do go back through our WTB podcast Instagram, and you will see photographs of when Maureen truly was at her most stressed, and you can see that it is reflected in her skin. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, your skin actually, when Maureen came to see me on Friday to give me bags, I did say to you, didn't I? I was like, your skin looks so good.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I did have my makeup on as well, which helped. But yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't have that much makeup on.
But you know, I do remember one time when I knocked on Jen's door and Jen opened the door and went, bloody hell. Because by that point, my face was completely covered. And I've had as Jen and Alison, I've had a very, very stressful year. And things do look like they're hopefully, touch wood, turning round.
They are turning round. They absolutely are, and things are looking up. And
I've got Jamie.
And you've got Jamie. I was hoping you were going to bring Jamie into the mix because it's really good that she's here. She stroke he. Maureen, that's great. And I'm really glad that you're on the up. And it's reflected in your attitude towards yourself, the way you look after yourself, the way that, you know, you've been focusing on work and on your friendships and on just, you know, living your best life. So that is absolutely wonderful to see. Alison, do you have any... I mean, you're a very positive person generally. Your cup is half full, even when it's looking empty. What have you got for us?
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about this just yesterday because I like to reflect. I was thinking, you know, this year, as we were discussing, we've been through some stuff. There's been a lot of things going on. But you know what I'll say is that the thing that I'm really realizing is that in times of tricky times, when tragedy or when difficulty occurs, it really points out to you who the true people that are there for you are, your friends. I think it can make relationships stronger. I am seeing this now within my own family. Like, you know, sometimes trouble, tricky times, it creates a whole new bond in relationships and friendships and family. So I'm very grateful. As much as I hate the shitty times, I'm seeing a lot of good things come out of it as well. So that's going to be my highlight for this year, is that with change, there is growth, and might be tricky, but growth is always a good thing. So, yeah.
Alison, I agree with you. Tricky times do bring out your friends in the woodwork. That doesn't make sense. But tricky times really makes the cream float to the surface. Oh, I really should have thought this through before I started talking. You know what I'm saying? I agree with you. And you know, not that any of us want to go through a terrible time in order to figure out who the people that love us are. But,
no.
You know, that is, it's true. And it's good to know, isn't it? Because if they're there through, you know, the shit times, then makes the fun times even more fun.
Yeah.
And never forget that as we sail through this quagmire of excrement, that the good times are on their way. Don't you worry. It can't stay shit forever.
No.
It's the natural order of life.
Yep.
I don't mean like nationally, internationally. I mean, that's an absolute fucking mess. Don't look over there. I just mean individually.
Yes.
What about you, Jen?
Yeah, yours.
Well, I have had, a good year. So I'd like to take the moment to say thank you to the people that made my year good. And that is people who came out to see me. So I'd like to say thank you to everyone that did, excluding those two blokes in York and that one woman in Oxford. But other than that.
Other than you three.
You three can fuck off. But everybody else, I'd like to say a massive thank you. So that's what I wanted to do, is just take the moment to say thank you to people who gave me their time and their energy, not least their money, to come and see me. And I'm very, very grateful. I don't want anyone to think I take it for granted. Obviously, I do moan. That's just, we can't expect that to change. That's never going to change. I'm a whingy whinge bag. But at the same time, now that I feel like a human again, I'm sort of taking stock and I'm thinking, wow, do you know what? I'm very lucky. And so thank you. And also, thank you to Maureen for...
I'm trying to think, what for?
Many moments of entertainment.
I'm just trying to think of a thing to add to that. Thank you to Maureen for the things that she has brought to our friendship, which are many. So very many things. No, genuinely, though, of course, I make fun of Maureen all the time, but I love her. And the same to you, Alison. We're very lucky to have each other, aren't we? And this ridiculous podcast. And last but not least, let's thank our absolutely fantastic producer. Alex doesn't get mentioned enough on this show, does he?
He doesn't. And we
That's
love
because
you, Alex.
He's a boy and we don't like to talk about them on this program. But we must take this occasion to say thank you to Alex, to Impatient Productions, to everybody at Acast for all of their support, because obviously this podcast would just be us wittering along. We'd still do it, by the way. Just to be clear,
oh, yeah, we wouldn't let that
the fact
stop
that no
us.
One's listened to it stop us.
It's never stopped us before, Jen, has it?
What, it's never stopped Warren and I. We did 7 years of a podcast that no one listened to.
You guys would do it without microphones.
We would do it without. Yeah, we would project into the ether, Alex. That's what we would do. So that's it. It's a little bit earnest. It's a little bit of a love-in. But thank you to, and last but not least, to our WTB listeners. We love you. We adore you. We're so grateful to you. And a special thank you to all of our patrons who are often very patient with us because our patron stuff comes out a bit late sometimes. That's often down to me. So I am sorry and thank you. We love you. Merry Christmas. Let's bring the bells back.
Merry
Alex,
Christmas.
The bells are back. Merry
Happy
Christmas.
Year, and we'll be back in 2024.
We'll be back in 2024.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Can I just keep these going just forever?
Yeah.
Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Or you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.